but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. Obviously, there's been a few, you know, father-son duos, but to have father-son and brother all teaming up and doing it and seeing the whole little fan section there in Atlanta last night was super special.
It's hard not to have a smile on your face watching Cal Raleigh launching bombs into the night sky in the ATL last night, and he wins the Home Run Derby. He'll be back at it tonight, hitting cleanup for the American League. It's great stuff. And how can you not, you know, wrap your arms around a star like that in the region for the Pacific Northwest, specifically in the city and the market of Seattle? And that's where we go now to be joined by Curtis Rogers. Curtis, the former staffer right here on the Bald-Faced Truth, former producer and board op and doing things. He's a kid from Kent, and he's a Seattle boy at heart. And Curtis, it's, you know, Cal Raleigh is the Home Run Derby champ. You know, it's an actual sentence we could say.
It is, and it's just another accolade that he has added to a first half full of them. Mariners bench coach Manny Actis said, oh, this is just nothing. I mean, he won the Mariners Charity Golf Tournament a couple weeks back, too. It's like, this kid can do nothing wrong. It has been just so, every day has been just jaw-dropping to watch. It's like, what is the next record he's about to break? What's the next trophy he's about to bring home? It is remarkable. It's a run unlike anything we've ever seen up here.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch even from afar. And here at the flagship of the BFT Radio Network, and Jude Anubi and Stephen Vaughn filling in for John Canzano today, you know, we get Mariner games, we get your guys' calls, and we get your voice on the air as well with the pregame and the postgame during the 162-game regular season. What a year it's been for Cal Raleigh so far. The Mariners hoping for a little bit more elevated team success over the second half as well. But just broad strokes, Curtis, what has this season been like covering Cal Raleigh on a day-in, day-out basis?
It's funny because every day when we are putting together shows up here, it almost kind of goes all the way back to Cal every single day. It's like, all right, what's Cal doing? What has he done lately? He is an absolute needle mover. It's reminiscent of the days of Ichiro. It's reminiscent of the days of Griffey, where it's just like, okay, you got to kind of measure what he's doing kind of separate from what the team is doing. It's crazy to think that he's actually a threat to Aaron Judge in the AL MVP race, considering the year that Aaron Judge has had with the Yankees, hitting an absurd amount, you know, potentially on his way to a triple crown. But he does not have a lead in the home run category. That's obviously Cal Raleigh right now. But man, this Mariners team, they've been so hot and cold, and you just saw it within the last week, cold against the Yankees and blisteringly hot against the Tigers. You're hoping for a little bit more consistency out of this ball club. The trade deadline is now, what, 2.5 weeks away? So they've got the farm system to make some moves for sure. I would anticipate them at least being in on some of the bigger names available come July 31st.
So Cal goes out. He's got his family around him last night, and he advances past Brent Rooker by, you know, the slimmest of margins. You know, what are we calling it? An inch? Less than an inch? Definitely less than a foot? What kind of relief did everyone feel in Seattle when they heard, A, that's the tiebreak, and B, that Cal Raleigh is moving on?
Oh, it definitely was a big sigh of relief. I was probably going to turn off the Derby had Cal not advanced past Rooker in the first round. It was just kind of like, well, what's the point in tuning in? I kind of think Major League Baseball was thinking along the same lines there, considering we did not know what the tiebreak was going to be since they both had, at least feet-wise, the same distance of their longest home run of that round. But it was a special night for sure. Just watching the three Raleigh boys take over in Atlanta. I figured once he got through that first round, I think the pressure was kind of off Cal Raleigh the rest of the night. And you could see he was swinging pretty freely in the second and third rounds, putting up some really big scores. In fact, surpassing his first round home run total in both the second and championship rounds and doing it with fewer pitches. So he needed the full 40 allotment in the first round to hit 17 plus the bonus balls. And then he only needed 27 in both the second and third rounds to put up 18 and 19 respectively. So he got better as the night went along. I thought it was an incredible sight to see. And, you know, once he got into those rhythms, it was very much a done deal. I think once he got to the championship round, I know Junior Caminero put up a good fight, but ultimately it was going to be Cal's night.
Where does this victory from Cal Raleigh rank in like memorable Mariner moments in the last 10 years? Is this like number one? Is this better than like when he hit the walk-off homer to clinch the playoff spot? Like where do Mariner fans rank this home run derby championship right now?
I would not put it above his home run to clinch the playoff spot. That's number one, and that's number one with a wide margin in between. I would put this, I think it's definitely in the top 10 for sure. I mean, there's no bigger stage in baseball, really, especially for one player to kind of, you know, take over a night than the home run derby. I know that the All-Star game is important, but it almost kind of feels like home run derby performances are remembered more so than All-Star game performances. You got to be a real ball knower to remember who was the All-Star game MVP last year, Jarren Duran, which isn't probably the name that a lot of people are, you know, it's not on the front of everybody's mind, but I think everybody has a good inclination of like who won the home run derby or at least who has won home run derbies in the past. So I think this is a really cool moment for Cal and his family. It's definitely going to get celebrated for sure. I would imagine the trophy will be hauled out the Friday they're back against Houston at the end of this week. But you know, knowing Cal, I mean, I think he just wants to get back to playing games. I think the accolades are funny to him because he just has always been kind of this aw shucks guy. And, you know, all this fame and all this attention placed on him right now, he's doing a great job of carrying himself and handling it all.
Curtis Rogers joining us here on the Bald-Faced Truth from Seattle Sports, also Mariners radio broadcasts. So, I mean, you know, you're a Seattle kid. You worked in Portland for a time as well, Curtis. It's always an interesting dynamic. You know, I've grown up rooting for the Seahawks my whole life. So whenever there's a rising star for the Seahawks or from the Seattle area that starts to come on the horizon and they're, you know, they obviously become a local star and a regional star. But when they take that next step to national fame or even international fame after that, you know, it hits us different in the place in the heart. It's like, yeah, that's our guy. Like that is one of our guy. Do you get the sense that that's happening with Seattle fans right now and with Cal Raleigh? It seems like yesterday in particular, he was able to take that step with an exclamation point from, you know, great story and a really good player to a national superstar.
For sure. I think there is a much bigger attachment between Seattle fans and their superstars, especially because it is a hard part of the country to get noticed nationally, and especially because all of the games are happening after the East Coast goes to sleep. It's an unfortunate reality of just, you know, East Coast bias and whatnot you see from, you know, outlets like ESPN and Fox Sports, where they're all based in New York City or in ESPN's case, Bristol, Connecticut. And out here on the West Coast, it's really hard to get that national attention unless you are doing stuff that is beyond what everybody has kind of come to expect of their superstars in baseball. And I mean, whenever you are in the same breath as Barry Bonds when it comes to a home run record, that is going to get the attention of everybody. Now, Bonds did it in fewer games and 39 home runs in the first half, but Cal is still just one shy, and he's on pace for a 60-plus home run season, which is a staggering number, especially considering the guys who have gotten to that plateau are all either Hall of Famers or you know, in Roger Maris's case, just, you know, a name that every baseball fan remembers forever and ever. So he's approaching kind of revered territory, and it's funny because, you know, all the stories that you hear about him, you know, when he's on these platforms like Dan Patrick or Pat McAfee, or Pardon My Take or whatever, it's stories that we've all kind of heard over and over the last 4 years since he made his debut. But you got to remember, like, this is the first time he is meeting a national audience. And so they're always, you know, curious, like, where'd the Big Dumper nickname come from? How are you hitting all these home runs? And it's like, yeah, that's our guy. And up here in the Northwest, you know, there've been a lot of names to come from here that it's like, yeah, that's right. It kind of reminds me of, you know, older people here in the Pacific Northwest might remember like Nirvana and how they got their start, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, all those bands and whatnot, where you see them at a tiny venue and then all of a sudden they're the biggest bands on the planet. And that kind of feels like what it's been like with Cal. I remember, you know, him coming up kind of a baby-faced kid just 4 or 5 years ago, struggling at the plate. He gets sent down in 2022 and then, you know, uses that as motivation, comes back up, and then caps off that 2022 season, that very same one, with the biggest home run hit in Mariners franchise history. So it has been such a thrill to watch him climb and just every single year add something to his game to where all of a sudden now you're looking at him in the same conversations with Aaron Judge, with Shohei Ohtani, with all these guys that you probably would not have thought to even consider him being in that category, heck, even just as recently as like this spring training.
Raleigh's been incredible this year. There's no doubt. Obviously, you look at the stats, 38 jacks. But I look at the Mariners right now, 51-45, and you talk about, you know, in the same breath as Barry Bonds. Obviously, he's not Barry Bonds, but he could be approaching 50, 60 home runs, depending on the second half. Do the Mariners kind of need him to hit 60 home runs this season to keep pace with the Astros or, like, make a playoff push? Because I look at the Mariners' pitching staff, like you said, very inconsistent all season long. They've been leaning on Raleigh all year long. They kind of need him to continue this for the rest of the season, or else the Mariners may be in trouble.
Yeah, I think they kind of do need him to produce at this kind of clip. And
is that possible? Is it possible for him to do that?
Right. And it's going to be very difficult because what he is doing is obviously historic. And what also has started to happen is he started to get the Barry Bonds treatment where teams are not wanting to pitch to him and they are giving him four wide and he's taking his base. On Sunday, he had three walks against the Tigers. They intentionally walked him in his final at-bat of the game, even though the Mariners had the lead at that point in the game. It's going to be very difficult. So they are going to need somebody to step up or somebodies to step up. I think the two that come to mind are the two that actually have played pretty well as of late. Randy Arozarena, who is also an all-star, has had 9 home runs in his last 13 games, has 17 total on the season. He's been playing some really fantastic ball, and over the course of his career, he's been a guy that can get on some heaters and really get hot and play some fantastic baseball. And the other guy is Julio Rodriguez, probably the second biggest name on the team right now. And he had 3 straight games with a home run in that Tigers series. Big power outage, though, from him in the months of May and June, just 2 home runs total between those 2 months. He hits 3 here to finish off the first half of the season. So hopefully he can kind of parlay that into some success in the second half of the season. But I think even with those two hitting the way that they are right now, it doesn't lessen the need for another bat in this lineup. I think they are going to be active on a lot of names available at the deadline. I know Gino Suarez is a name that a lot of Mariners fans would love to see back in Seattle. He's got 31 home runs this season in his own right. Josh Naylor, Diamondbacks first baseman, is another guy. Ryan O'Hearn, who's going to be starting at DH for the AL All-Star team tonight. That's somebody else that has been mentioned in talks with the Mariners. So I think they recognize that, yes, you have this historic season coming from Cal Raleigh, and yes, you're getting some increased production from 2 very important bats in your lineup. But again, you want to make this lineup as well-rounded as possible. Go out and get somebody else and really put this thing into motion.
Curtis, before we let you go, I got to get a Seahawks thought from you as well. We got training camp coming up later this month, July 23rd, at the VMAC. This is when the journey begins. There's a preseason game with Pete Carroll bringing in Geno and the Raiders into town in early August. I mean, just thinking about it brings a smile on my face. But what is some of the dialogue and some of the where's the headspace of Seahawks fans at right now, July 15th, just about a little less than 10 days away from training camp beginning and year two of Mike McDonald?
Yeah, I think the fan base kind of recognizes this as maybe a transition year in a way. I don't know if they're going to be competing for an NFC crown or anything like that. I think the playoffs are definitely that would be a successful season for sure. I don't know if anybody has the same expectations for Sam Darnold heading into 2025 that, you know, they had on him when he was with the Vikings. I think potentially there is going to be a step back in production from him just because I think the Vikings had just otherworldly talent around him last year that allowed him to succeed in a way that he has not succeeded before in his NFL career. But I don't think the cupboard is bare, for sure. And I think there is some upside on the offense. And I think Cooper Kupp is somebody that if he is back to what he was just a couple of years ago when he was healthy and was a top five receiver in the NFL, that's going to do wonders for this offense. I expect Jackson Smith and Jigba to continue taking steps forward. I think the offensive line is going to be improved, especially you add Gray Zabel to what Charles Cross and a healthy Abe Lucas can be. Guard play is going to be huge for this team, and I think especially with the Kubiak system, you're going to need to see an improved run game. I think Ken Walker entering into a contract year, that's going to be some added motivation for him to maybe hit the field. I think everybody's eyes are on the offense this season. I think the defense, everybody is kind of expecting a good season from them, probably at least a top 10 defense, maybe even closer to a top five offense top five defense, I should say, by the end of the season. So I think all eyes are on the offense this year. And we bring in a new coordinator, a new quarterback, a new number one receiver in Cooper Kupp. I think with all due respect to the defensive side of the ball, and those guys work hard, everybody's attention is going to be on what this offense does.
And you may be the biggest, you know, Arizona Wildcats fan I know. How are things between you and Jed Fish? Have you ran into him in any hallways recently?
I have not, and I think that's probably for the better for both of us. It is weird, you know, having to cover a guy who spurned my alma mater the way he did, but I can be professional about it when I need to, but I got to say the Apple Cup result last year when the Cougs were able to snuff out that run to the sideline, which was almost identical to Arizona's loss the season prior to USC and what he did in overtime in that game. I did crack a little bit of a smile. I must say, I absolutely had to. I'm a Wildcat through and through, Judah. You know that.
So. Yeah.
Can't leave those allegiances at home. I got to take them wherever I go.
Got to bear down. That's right. Curtis, great to hear your voice, man. Congrats on all the success up there, and thanks for making time for us down here in Portland in the state of Oregon, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Judah, always appreciate coming on with you. Give my best to JC. Give my best to everybody there at 750 and everybody there in Rip City. Love my time there, and can't wait to talk to you again.
Curtis Rogers, he is a kid from Kent on the socials. One of our favorites, good friend, and immensely successful broadcaster, doing so many things, wearing a bunch of hats, producing midday shows up there, doing stuff with the Seahawks on the weekends, the Mariners throughout the season. So just a phenomenal guy to get caught up with, especially on this day of the All-Star Game in Cal Raleigh. Continuing to make memories and becoming a national superstar out of the city of Seattle. Our big splash is coming up next. We'll have some NFL thoughts as well, and got some things to give away too. Some tickets out there. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn in for John Canzano here on the Bald Faced Truth.